All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Krishnaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pucharane Nivasesa Sinivani Paskatyade Satarane. Vande Ham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatam Likam Sam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadvadutam Parijana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. December 26th. Maybe. Put this up to the front. Move that. Okay, like that? It's unidirectional. It's December 26th, 2012, in Chennai. We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 2, Hiranyakashipu, King of the Demons. This is Hiranyakashipu continuing to talk to his associates. Text 12. Yatra dvijagavo Vedavarnashram kriya Tam tam jano padam yata set fire, Vishchita cut down all the trees. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Immediately go wherever there is good protection for the cows and brahmanas, and wherever the Vedas are studied in terms of the Varnashram principles. Set fire to those places and cut from the roots of the trees there, which are the source of life. Think this is a demon? Yeah? What a... Whew. Purport. The picture of a proper human civilization is indirectly described here. In a perfect human civilization, there must be a class of men fully trained as perfect brahmanas. Similarly, there must be kshatriyas to rule the country very nicely, according to the injunctions of the shastras, and there must be vaishyas who can protect the cows. The word gavaha indicates the cow should be given protection. Because the Vedic civilization is lost, cows are not protected, but instead indiscriminately killed in slaughterhouses. Such are the acts of demons. Therefore, this is a demoniac civilization. The Varnashram Dharma mentioned here is essential for human civilization. Unless there is a Brahmana to guide, Kshatriya to rule perfectly, and a perfect Vaishya to produce food and protect the cows, how will people live peacefully? It is impossible. Another point is that trees should be given protection. During its lifetime, a tree should not be cut for industrial enterprises. In Kali Yuga, trees are indiscriminately and unnecessarily cut for industry, in particular for paper mills that manufacture a profuse supply of paper from the publication of demoniac propaganda, nonsensical literature, huge quantities of newspapers, and many other paper products. This is a sign of a demoniac civilization. The cutting of trees is prohibited unless necessary for the service of Lord Vishnu. Yajnartat karmano natra lokoyam karma bandhanaha. Work done as a sacrifice for Lord Vishnu must be performed. Otherwise, work binds one to this material world. But if the paper mill stopped producing paper, one may argue, how can our ISKCON literature be published? The answer is that the paper mill should manufacture paper only for the publication of ISKCON literature, because ISKCON literature is published for the service of Lord Vishnu. This literature clarifies our relationship with Lord Vishnu, and therefore the publication of ISKCON literature is the performance of yajna. Yajnartat karmano natra lokoyam karma bandhanaha. Second time Prabhupada's quoted that verse. Where is that from? Where is that verse from? Bhagavad Gita, which chapter? 3. Yajna must be performed as indicated by the superior authorities. The cutting of trees simply to manufacture paper for the publication of unwanted literature is the greatest sinful act. What a statement. The greatest sinful act, to cut trees to publish nonsense. Yatra yatra dvija gavo veda varnashrama kriyaha tam tam janapada yata sandipayata vrishchata. Immediately, go wherever there is good protection for the cows and brahmanas, and wherever the Vedas are studied in terms of the Varnashram principles. Set fire to those places and cut from the roots of the trees there, which are the source of life. So the demons will do any harm to anybody just to secure their position. What's his purpose? What is he accomplishing? What benefit is he going to get from all this harm and pain and suffering? Suffering for the trees and plants, suffering for the cows and the animals, and suffering for human society. He wants to throw human society into chaos, destroy the good government, destroy the brahmanas and intellectuals, destroy the sources of food. He wants to kill everybody or make them suffer. Why? He's already practically the master of the universe. Why is he doing this? Just to secure his position. And as we said the other day, his position's already secure. Lord Brahma gave him this benediction, nobody will be able to defeat you. Why is he doing this? Well, this is the mood of a demon. And the unfortunate thing, we have to say, frankly, is that every conditioned soul is to some extent demoniac. Prabhupada said, whether you're the thief of a diamond or the thief of a cucumber, you are still a thief. And that even the great demigods, who we could say they're the opposite of the demons, still there's some tendency. Until we're completely pure, unless we're fully in love of God, there's some tendency like this that let me hurt others for my own purposes. That so I can feel safe and I can feel secure. Of course, it's legal everywhere to hurt somebody in self-defense. If someone's trying to hurt you, to defend yourself, you can hurt them back. But this goes way beyond that. Just so he could have power, and so he could keep his power. And completely unnecessary. So who is he trying to hurt? He's trying to hurt the people. His main concern really is the demigods. He's trying to hurt the demigods. And he's trying to get at the demigods through the human beings. He's trying from all directions. But one direction is through the human beings on the earth. Because if the human beings on earth can't perform yajna, then the demigods will suffer. This is his thinking. So he wants to attack the people. He wants to destroy their government. We can see on this planet now, countries that don't have good government, the people suffer terribly. There's one African country, Somalia, there's not been a registered tourist for 14 years because the country is in such turmoil. There is a hotel not too far from the airport, but no tourists go there. And the hotel says, they give them notice, if you want to come to our hotel, we suggest you have 14 armed guards between the airport and the hotel. Why? Because there's no government. And when there's no government, there's just anybody gets a weapon and kills anybody. It's chaos. And we've all heard about, right, countries like this, where nobody can be safe in their homes. At any moment, some band of thieves will come and steal everything, rape all the women, kill the men, take all of the money and the livestock, etc. So that's, of course, just on a material level. Without good government, you can't have good health for the citizens. You can't have proper roads. You can't have proper schools. You can't have safe food. But good government also provides, of course, for spiritual life. And actual good government. Just like we pay our taxes and the government used part of that taxes for the police force and for the roads and for the schools and for the water supply. A good government also uses part of that tax money for yajna. So that the ordinary citizen is indirectly performing yajna. To have a good government, you have to have good advisors for the government. Because kshatriyas being in the mode of passion, passion means I'm a pious materialist. Ignorance means an impious materialist. But still, the mode of passion is materialism. And the brahmanas are more interested in transcendence. So they can keep the kshatriyas on the path of pious materialism. They keep them from falling into the impious materialism. And they direct them to perform yajna. And they direct the citizens, what is the goal of life? Without brahmanas, just a nice materialistic government is insufficient. And it won't last. It won't last. A materialistic society will gradually degrade, even if it's a pious materialistic society. It's not sufficient to have material piety. So that is for the happiness of the citizens on every level. We have Brahmins, Kshatriyas, and Prabhupada mentions here the Vaishyas. So each has their realm of protection. What did the brahmanas protect? The brahmanas. Knowledge. The brahmanas are protecting knowledge. They're making sure that truth
doesn't become degraded. The truth is real truth. Like the modern brahmanas, they distort the truth. They preach to the people, oh, you're just a bunch of chemicals. Right? They teach something false in the name of truth. And the modern Brahmin is also so much evidence that they will cheat for money. They'll do some scientific study, but actually it's paid by some business, and so the results are in favor of the business. So many times this is happening. I was reading about one big scientist who would give lectures about some pharmaceutical drug and say, okay, this drug is not actually very good. But before giving the lecture, he would talk to people on the stock market and say, I'm going to give a lecture saying this drug is not good, so make sure you sell all the stock. And this way he was making all these millions and millions of dollars on the side while coming as, I am an impartial scientist giving you the truth. So the brahmanas are supposed to protect the truth, and for this the brahmanas have to be simple and independent. The brahmanas live on random charity, whatever is given to them. And the kshatriyas protect the citizens, the people. Of course, the brahmanas are protecting everyone because they're like the big umbrella. But directly, they're just protecting truth. The kshatriyas are also protecting everyone under them, but directly they're protecting the people. We talked about what that means, engaging the people in yajna, arranging for proper brahmanas to teach the people. And also the kshatriyas do what we call social welfare work, making sure there's roads and water and food and education and care for the sick and care for the disabled and care for the widows and orphans and so many things. Make sure there's a military to protect the people. And what do the Vaishyas protect? The cows, the animals. Not only the cows. Krishna had cows, buffalo, and goats. It's described in the 10th canto. So the animals. And what else do the Vaishyas protect? The land. All the natural resources. So just like the modern brahmanas, they're distorting the truth. The modern kshatriyas, they're using the people. They send the people to unnecessary wars. They allow the businessmen to pollute the water and the food and the earth just so the kshatriyas can have some position and some power. They're not really protecting the citizens. And if the citizens have some complaint against the government, the kshatriyas go and beat up the citizens. Correct? I think this is happening right now in India, that there was some crime and the citizens were complaining, and the government goes and beats the citizens who are complaining that there's crime. So this is, the kshatriyas are hurting the citizens instead of protecting them. And the Vaishyas, instead of protecting the cows and the animals, they're torturing them. Not only killing, they're torturing them. They're keeping the animals in tiny little boxes in the dark and giving them, you know, they're feeding the cows meat, you notice? They're taking meat and mixing it with the cows' feed so the cows will get fat very quickly. And they're milking them with machines, and they're taking the babies away from the cows, and the cows are crying and crying. And then after this life of hell, then they kill them. And what are they doing to the earth? What are the Vaishyas doing to the earth? Pouring chemicals into the earth. They're polluting the earth and using artificially modified seeds. Right? They're producing food just for the how it can be shipped and how it looks instead of for actually nutrition. Right? And they're polluting the water. The Vaishyas are supposed to protect all the natural resources, but they're polluting the air, they're polluting the water, they're polluting the land, they're spoiling the food, they're torturing the animals and killing the animals in the name of greed. And the Shudras are not mentioned here, but what are the Shudras supposed to protect? What's the area? Not only. They have their area of protection also. What? Huh? What do they do? What do the Shudras produce for society? Services. And? What kind of services? Entertainment? The arts? Music, art, dance, drama? Correct? Yes? Huh? Labor? What kind of labor? Is there skilled labor? Are there skilled and unskilled, right? Skilled laborers, what do they produce? Tools. Tools, furniture, clothing, correct? So many things. That's their area of protection. The Shudras are supposed to make sure that the arts and the crafts and the skills and the entertainment are properly protected. Just like you can still go to some places and you find the old crafts are being done. People are doing the hand loom and the hand embroidery and the pottery. And this is also now being destroyed. All these things are meant to be done in a way. Shudras also have a sense of self-respect. You know? I have created this beautiful pot. I have created this nice cloth. And that is being taken away. Things are just being done in the factory. Right? Like this work happening here across the street. It's practically like slave labor. They're working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Doesn't matter, Christmas, Sunday, whatever, they're working. And they're doing very dangerous work. No one is taking care of them. No, and they cannot take any pride in their work. Right? They're just like a piece in a machine. But actually a Shudra is a craftsperson. And the Shudra is meant to produce things also for the glory of Krishna. The Vaishya is meant to produce the fruits of the earth to serve Krishna in Yajna. The Kshatriya is meant to engage the people in Yajna and in worship of the Brahmanas. The Brahmanas directly engage people in Yajna. And the Shudras are supposed to produce cloth and pots and tools and machines that are meant to be used in Yajna. And they are meant to produce entertainment that elevates people. The Shudras are meant to produce music and dance and arts and drama that elevate people. And the modern Shudras, again, they are losing this. They are having now machine-made music, practically speaking. And their entertainment is simply degrading people. So Hiranyakashipu wants to destroy all of this mood of protection and yajna. In Varnashram society, everyone is in, from the Shudra, the Vaishya, the Kshatriya, the Brahmana, everyone is in a mood of yajna. Prabhupada saying, quoting here, right, twice, yajna tar kamanona tra yokoyam karma bandana tadartam karma kamtaya mukti sangasamantra. And Krishna says in the 18th chapter, everyone by their work, if they work as a sacrifice, they can become mukta, they can attain mukti. They can attain ultimate mukti. We're not interested in Brahman mukti, but the real mukti of serving Krishna in bhakti. And Hiranyakashipu is not satisfied with directly destroying the human civilization. If you directly destroy the human civilization, definitely the cows and the trees will be destroyed. You don't have to really do that separately. If you corrupt the Brahmanas, then knowledge is corrupted. You corrupt the Kshatriyas, then people's lives will be corrupted. You corrupt the Vaishyas, then the lives of the animals and the natural resources will be corrupted. But he wants to make doubly sure. So he wants to go and kill the cows directly. Just in case, maybe there might be some Brahmanas and Kshatriyas and Vaishyas and Shudras who escape his plans. Maybe some of them will secretly protect the cows, so let me go directly kill the cows. Maybe some of them will secretly protect the trees and the natural resources, so let's cut down the trees directly. We think about in reading this, wars where the enemy will go and burn everything. You've heard of this? Where they burn all the fields and the crops and they kill all the animals of the enemy party so that the other side cannot live. Actually, in American history, in the Civil War, there was one general who did this. He went to the villages of the other side and he burned all of the food. He killed all of the animals and burned all of the food. So everybody would starve. And that way they would have to submit. Now I find several interesting things here. One is that there's a lot of Srila, there's many, many of Srila Prabhupada's purports where he talks about the value of caring for cows, for example, and being vegetarian. In this purport, he talks about the value of respecting the trees. And he makes this rather astonishing statement that if you kill trees for nonsense literature, it's the greatest sinful act. So we might think from this, because there's many, many purports like this, not specifically about trees, but about cows, for example, or about animals, that Srila Prabhupada is promoting directly vegetarianism, nonviolence, and a materially stable society. Could we conclude that? Would that be a reasonable conclusion? No? No, there's dozens, maybe hundreds of purports where Prabhupada's talking about you should have a stable society where people are cared for and the cow should not be killed, the tree should not be killed. And yet we have many other places where Srila Prabhupada will say, we're not preaching vegetarianism. Or we're not interested in varnashram. We're not going to go and hug the trees. You know, people do this. Someone's going to cut down the trees. At least in America they do this. And environmentalists, they go to the forest and each tree is held by a person. They say, if you want to kill the tree, you have to kill me first. So Prabhupada never wanted us to do these things. And yet he's writing these purports about protecting the trees, protecting the cows, protecting society. So we talked a little bit about this yesterday. That we understand that we achieve these things through bhakti. If you become a devotee of Krishna, you automatically become a vegetarian. Yes, we want people to be vegetarians, but because of bhakti. Yes, we want to establish varnashram, but through bhakti. Yes, we want to take care of the trees, but through bhakti, not independently of bhakti. That these things like varnashram and vegetarianism and cow protection and tree protection, bhakti does not depend on them. You can take to bhakti even if you are a cow killer and a tree killer. Right? We do not say to people, oh, you are a meat eater, you cannot come into the temple. You cannot chant Hare Krishna. One of my godbrothers has started his own spiritual society, and he preaches, you cannot chant Hare Krishna until you are following the four regulative principles. But that's not our philosophy. We say, if you become a bhakta, if you love Krishna, then you will not want to kill the trees. You'll see, the trees are also part of Krishna, and you won't want to kill them. You'll want to take trees that are already dead. And if you have to kill a tree, you'll use it for yajna. You'll do the minimum amount of violence, and then you'll only do violence if necessary for yajna, if necessary in Krishna service. Just like even in our vegetarian diet, there's some violence. We're picking the vegetables, we wash it off, we may be killing some bug. There's not possible to have no violence. But because we're offering them in yajna, therefore we are free from any sinful reaction. But it's not just officially, not just, oh yes, I'm doing it for Krishna, therefore there's no violence. But our heart becomes softened. And we lose this propensity, this Hiranyakashipu propensity. That is the real reason why when you become a bhakta, then you will be a proper brahmana, then you will be a proper kshatriya or vaishya or shudra. Naturally, if you're a devotee of Krishna, even if you're a shudra, then you'll say, oh, I want to make music for Krishna. I want to do some crafts for Krishna. I want to take care of the land for Krishna. And then naturally you'll protect the land, as the land is the earth, it's Krishna's wife. And one loses the desire to exploit and harm others. Why? Why does one who become a devotee lose the desire to exploit or harm others? Not just because it's our official philosophy that we're vegetarian and we're, you know, we don't harm any living entity unnecessarily. But where does this desire to harm others come from? It comes basically from fear. And in the 16th chapter, we read the demons say, so much wealth do I have today, I will gain more according to my schemes. He's my enemy and I've killed him, my other enemy will also be killed, right? They're afraid. Unless I destroy all of my enemies, as we were saying in the beginning, I won't be secure, I won't be safe. And even when they're secure, they're still thinking, I have to be double secure, triple secure, quadruple secure. Hiranyakashipu was promised, you're not going to die by this way, this way, this way, this way, this way, this. He covered everything, right? He didn't leave out anything. But still he was afraid. Still he was afraid. We harm others because we're afraid. We're thinking, this person may take something that I need. That's the definition of enemy. This person is interfering with what I need or what I want. So why does the bhakta become free of fear? This is the first of the divine qualities, fearlessness. We say, Prabhupada's name is Abhayacharan. We have that nice song, Abhayacharanadavindo, right? One becomes fearless. Because when you become a devotee of Krishna, one should realize, not just know theoretically, but one should realize, na hanyate hanyamane sharire. Not because you have some benediction from a demigod, but because benediction or no benediction, I can't be killed. It doesn't matter whether Brahma gives me a benediction or doesn't give me a benediction. I can't be killed. I'm eternal. The body will die, but I'm not this body. It's just like these clothes. Krishna compares the body to clothes. Who cares if the clothes are finished? My clothes are finished, my life is not finished. Your car is finished, you can get another car. When you know you're not the car, you're not the clothes, there's no fear. And not only not killed, we can't be harmed. Krishna says there's no weapon that can harm the soul. If nobody can harm me, how can anybody be my enemy? Is it possible? If I'm invulnerable, are we invulnerable? Yes? Are we? Can we be harmed? Can anything harm us? We can never be harmed. Do we believe this? Or we're not sure? We can never be harmed by anybody, by anything, ever. So who is our enemy? And even our ability to think of Krishna, that's not in anybody else's control. Like Prahlad, he was surrounded by demons, but he could still be Krishna conscious. So nobody can harm us on any level. So what is there to fear? We don't have to make our position secure. We're already secure. There's nothing, we don't have to do something to be secure. And one who's a devotee of Krishna realizes, I'm already secure. Just like the materialists, they invest their money and they call it securities. Right? But we see with Hiranyakashipu, no matter how many securities you have, you're still not secure. So we can examine if ever we cause pain to any living entity. Actually, this is one of the angas of bhakti. Rupa Goswami gives 64 angas of bhakti. He first gives 10 positive and then 10 negative. 10 do's and 10 do not. And the sixth of the 10 do nots is do not cause pain to any living entity. This means with body, mind, or words. This theme is repeated throughout the Bhagavad Gita. One who is not a source of anxiety for others. One who is not put into anxiety by others. And one who does not give anxiety to others. So harm doesn't just mean killing. I mean, this is very gross. Pulling up the trees by the roots and killing the cows. But Hiranyakashipu is trying to hurt on all levels. He's trying to hurt physically, psychologically, socially. He's trying to destroy the whole social fabric. So we can examine in our own life, do I harm others? Do I give anxiety to others? Do I cause pain to others' minds and feelings? Maybe we don't punch people in the face, but maybe we punch them in the heart. And we will see, whenever we give pain to others, you can see. I mean, unless you're defending the deities because somebody's coming with a gun, that's another thing. Or somebody's out preaching, there's no God, we're all a bunch of machines. Then you can say, you rascal and fool. That's the proper use of anger. That's not out of fear. But we'll notice it's always out of fear. Look and see. This happens also in the family. You'll notice, why do the husbands and wives, why do they sometimes get nasty with each other, husbands and wives, or parents and children? Notice. If we're nasty, if we are saying something with the idea that I will hurt the feelings of somebody else, you think it's because we're trying to get something for ourselves. I'm afraid that I will lose something that I have, or I will not get something that I need. So therefore we pray to Lord Nrisingadev, please kill the Hiranyakashipu in my heart. If we think, well, I'm not cutting down trees, and I'm not killing cows, and I'm not tearing down governments, so therefore I'm a great saintly person. Well, we should look and see. It says in the Bhagavatam, if in spite of chanting the holy name, one's heart does not melt, then we can know there's some offense. And the main offense, of course, is offense to other living entities and to Vaishnavas. In one sense, everyone is a Vaishnava. Jivara, Swaropaya, Krishna, and Yatudasha. So this is one of the angles of bhakti, never to cause pain to any living entity. And the only way to be above this is to be on the spiritual platform. One cannot be above this, causing pain to others materially. At a certain point, he tried to do it materially, it didn't work. Don't think, if I have enough money, if I have a nice enough house or something, if I take the right course in psychology. One must feel secure on the spiritual platform. One must feel, I cannot be hurt. I have everything I need. Om Purnamada Purnamidam. Krishna is complete. I'm part of Krishna. Krishna is giving me everything I need always and forever. And nobody can ever hurt me. Therefore, I have no need to give anxiety to anybody else ever. All of my dealings with others can be in such a way that they feel happy and peaceful. I mean, Srila Prabhupada was so expert that even when Srila Prabhupada was doing heavy preaching, he did not put people into anxiety. Srila Prabhupada never hurt other people for his own purposes. Even in the name of Krishna consciousness, he just didn't do it. I mean, I remember when we saw Prabhupada in 74, and he told my father that he was like Hiranyakashipu. But my father wasn't offended. Actually, when we left the room, my father said, now I know why you've come to this movement. This is a genuine holy person. But Prabhupada told him, he said, oh, this is your daughter. And Prabhupada started telling him the story of Hiranyakashipu and Prahlad. Ravindra Prabhu had the same experience that Prabhupada directly called his father a fool. But that he was enjoying, he wasn't offended. So Srila Prabhupada knew, because Prabhupada had no fear. Without fear, there's no attacking. This defending and attacking is all based in fear. So it's good that we want to protect the cows. It's good that we want to protect the trees. It's good we want to establish Varnashram culture and Brahminical culture. And the main place we should establish this is here. You can try it. You can say, okay, today I will not attack anybody. This Rupa Goswami gives this as the symptom of the Uttama Adhikari in the Upadeshamrita. One who is undeviating in devotional service and who's free from the... What's the verse? Propensity to criticize others. Someone who's free from the propensity to criticize, not just kill. Oh, I'm not killing anybody, therefore I'm fine. But free from the propensity to criticize. You can try. Say, okay, one day, okay, Krishna, this today I will not criticize anybody. And you will see it's difficult. It's not easy. Today, whatever comes out of my mouth, whatever I do, I will make sure I do not cause anxiety. I'm not a source of anxiety to others. I do not cause harm to others. So Prabhupada's concerned here even about the trees. This is the Vaishnava. They're concerned about the trees. I mean, really, in the grand scheme of things, how important is a tree? But he's concerned about the trees. So how much should we be concerned? If we're that concerned about the trees, how much should we be concerned about the people? And if we're concerned about the people, how much should we be concerned about the people who chant Hare Krishna? So, and when we do this, then we actually are free. That is real liberation. Real liberation is that we're free from fear. We're free from this attacking and defending that we are, as Krishna says, we're never a source even of anxiety to others. So, it's a shame that the society we live in general, it's full of these Hiranyakashipus on every level. So thank you very much. Do we have time for questions?
Prabhupada mentions twice about the printing of the page and cutting the piece for printing his comments.
Ah, yes. I find that very endearing, especially where he says paper mill should manufacture paper only for the publication of ISKCON literature. So I find that very charming.
In some of the schools in America, they want to do e-learning, e-books.
They're trying, cutting the trees. Of course, it's interesting. I was thinking about talking about this, but the prediction was that when we moved to computers, that paper use would decrease. But actually it's increased. Because when you had to type on a typewriter, it was much more difficult to produce something. You had to go to a printer. And now you can produce immediately, you can print off 20 pages on your computer. So actually paper use has increased with computers. But yes, there is some move going towards, just like we see in society in general, there's more of a move towards vegetarianism. Yes. So people are becoming fed up, even ordinary people are becoming fed up with the Hiranyakashipu society. And they want people they're going more towards the original crafts. There's a big movement now towards handicrafts, away from machine-produced items, and, you know, reviving the traditional arts. There's a move towards protecting the land and ecology. There's a move towards protecting the animals and vegetarianism. There's definitely a move towards having good, responsible government. And there's a move also towards having responsible philosophers and teachers. So people are they're wanting all of these things. Yes?
If possible, you're
That would be a long time. Maybe we'll have a separate session. Anything else on this point? Be careful what you print. Be careful what you use paper for. Make sure that you don't print unnecessarily a newspaper for
a year. Don't talk much. They only type and send by MMS and SMS.
Okay, thank you. All grace to Srila Prabhupada.